We continue now with Maseches Beitza, Daf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, 8 lines from the bottom of the page to the first word on the line is Tana. The Gemara now continues by discussing the Mishnah. The Mishnah previously on the Talmud teaches, Beis Shammai says, Ein nosnin es ha'or lefnei hadorsin, that on Yom Tov it is prohibited to take the hide of an animal and place it in a location where it is going to be trampled upon, because we are concerned that this will assist in the tanning process. Tanning a hide is one of the 39 melachos ma'abed, which is usher on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shammai say a person cannot take an or and place it in that b'makom shadarsin alav, and Beis Hillel omrim that this is mutter. So says the Gemara Tana, the Braisa teaches v'shavin shemochin alav basar litzoli. Bishami and Beis Hillel both agree that a person can go ahead and salt meat for the purpose of roasting over the hide, even though some of the salt will fall on the or, and usually putting salt on the or, on the hide, is part of the tanning process. Over here, since he's only going to be using a little amount of salt, so it is permissible. Tosfos explain over here that when you roast meat, no salting is required. Normally, as part of the preparation of meat, salting is required in order to extract the blood. However, if you're going to roast the meat on an open fire, so technically no salting is necessary. The only reason why a person perhaps would put salt on the meat before roasting it is because it adds to the taste. So therefore, the Gemara says that if you're going to use a small amount of salt for the purpose of just adding to the taste of the meat before you roast it, so then Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agree that you could do it over the or, over this hide, even though, again, it is going to be beneficial for the tanning process. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Lo shanu ela litzoli. This is only true if the reason why a person, or this is only true in a situation where a person places salt over meat that is going to be roasted, of ala kedera lo. But if he's salting meat over food that is going to be used for cooking, so in this case, a large amount of salt is going to be used, not just a small amount. So then it is going to be usher to do it over the or over the hide, because we're concerned that it is going to add, that is going to contribute to the tanning process. It says the Gemara, Pshito Litzoli Tnan. Obviously, this is the din, because after all, it says in the Braisa, Vishavin Shemochin Lav Basa Litzoli, that they agree that you can go ahead and pour salt over this meat, Litzoli, if it is being used for roasting. It doesn't say anything about Likadeira, so obviously this is only true in a case of roasting. So says the Gemara, Hokamashmalan. Point of Abaye is as follows: that even when it comes to pouring salt over meat that is going to be roasted, it has to be a small amount of salt. But if it's the amount of salt that is ke'en kedera that a person would use when preparing meat for cooking purposes, so then it is going to be forbidden. So the point of Abaye is that even when it comes to pouring salt over meat that is going to be roasted, it cannot be too much. It cannot be ke'en kedera so much that a person would use as if he were preparing meat for cooking purposes. The Gemara now continues with a braisa on a related issue. Tanu Rabbanan, it was taught in the braisa, Ein molchen es hachalovim ve'ein mahapchin behen. On Yom Tov, you cannot go ahead and salt chelev, pieces of fat from an animal, nor may you go ahead and turn them over in order to prevent them from spoiling. We know that the Torah tells us that there are certain fats of the animal that are prohibited for consumption. This is what chelev is. Even though you're not permitted to eat it, it is not aser b'hana. There are other things you could do with, such as feeding your animals. So therefore, it's not muksa. So it says the Mishnah, says the Brice over here, that you're not permitted to go ahead and to salt them. And this is similar to b'ma'abid, to the malacha of tanning the hide of an animal, preserving it. So therefore, it's not permissible. And similarly, vein mahapchin behen, you cannot turn it over, because turning it over is normally done in the process of salting. Here as well, this is something which is prohibited on Yom Tov. Rashi over here on the bottom of the page points out that this is even true with an animal that was shechted on Yom Tov. So you couldn't have done this beforehand. Nevertheless, this is still prohibited on Yom Tov. Mishum Rabbi Shua Amru, it was said in the name of Rabbi Shua, Sheshotchen Beruach Agabi Yesedos, that it is permissible to go ahead and to take these pieces of chelev and spread them over pegs so that they're going to be completely exposed to the air. This is another way of helping slow the process of spoiling. So even though it is not going to preserve it indefinitely, but this type of activity is permissible. So you're allowed to go ahead and spread them over the yesedos, over these pegs, in order to prevent them from spoiling quickly. However, you're not permitted to go ahead and to salt them, nor to turn them over. And what's the halacha in this case? So Amar Rav Masna, the Gemara continues, Rav Masna says, halacha ki Rabbi Yeshua. The halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, who said that you're permitted to go ahead and take the chalev and place it on these yesedos. Ika the Amri, there are those who say no, Amar Rav Masna, in halacha ki Rabbi Yeshua. Some report, also in the name of Rav Masna, that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yeshua. So it continues the Gemara, Bishul Malamandi Amar halacha ki Rabbi Yeshua, according to the opinion that says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, that Rav Masna says the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, it's derech, so then it's necessary to teach us this. So Gadai Tachamina, perhaps one would have thought, Yochid the Rabbim, halacha ki Rabbim. In general, when we have a machlokas between an individual and a majority, we would follow the majority view. Now in this case, we have the Tanakama of the Brisa, which presumably represents the position of the Rabbim, followed by a position of an individual, Yochid Rabbi Yeshua. So you would have thought that since we have a machlokas between a Yochid and a Rabbim, the halacha follows the Rabbim. So comes along Rav Masna and teaches, no, halacha ki Rabbi Yeshua. So if you assume that Rav Masna has taught that halacha ki Rabbi Yeshua, it makes sense why you would have had to teach us that. Because the chiddush is that in this case, we don't follow the Rabbim, we follow the Yochid. But according to the opinion, it says that what? That according to Rav Masna, the halacha does not follow Rav Shua Pshita. So obviously the halacha doesn't follow Rav Shua. Why? Yachid v'rabim, halacha k'rabim. There's a rule that tells us that whenever we have a machlokas between an individual and majority, we're going to follow the majority rule. So we shouldn't need Rav Masna to say, ein halacha k'Rav Shua. I know that the halacha doesn't follow Rav Shua. After all, he's a yachid etzel rabim. So says the Gemara, no. That in this particular case, it was necessary for Rav Masna to teach that Rav Yeshua's opinion was not accepted lahalacha. Why? Ma'u detemet, perhaps he would have said, mistaber temet Rav Yeshua. Then maybe in this case, Rav Yeshua's reason makes sense. Even though Rav Yeshua is only a yachid, perhaps we would have followed his opinion, the ilo sharis lay, because if we do not permit a person to go ahead and take the pieces of chalev and place them in a way that they will not spoil so quickly, mim navalo shachit. So then he's going to refrain from shechting in the first place, and this is something that is going to interfere with a person's ability to enjoy simchas yom tif. Kamash malon comes along with mas, and he says no, that the halacha prohibits this. The halacha does not follow the position of Rabbi Shua, even though one would have thought that maybe the halacha does. So says the Gemara, if this is true, Maishnomi Orlet Lefnei Adarsin. So then why is this case different than the case which is found in the Mishnah, which Beis Hillel permit going ahead and taking the or, the hide of the animal, and placing it in a location where people are going to trample on it? After all, here as well, why do we permit this? Choru, we permit it because we're concerned that if we don't, then people will hesitate and not shecht on Yom Tov. We don't want that to happen, so therefore we try to accommodate them. So says the Gemara, why is it that Rav Masna says the halacha is not like Rav Yeshua, that we allow some degree of flexibility when it comes to the preservation of the chalev? So why is it that he says no, but the Mishnah tells us that according to Beis Hillel, you can go ahead and place the oil of Nei Hadarsin? So says the Gemara, on the top of the next Amud, Yid Aleph Amud Aleph, no, there's a difference. Hasam lo mucha chamilsa. Over there, in the case of spreading the or, the hide, in a place where there are darsin, it is not obvious what the reason is that the person is doing this. Why? Mishum d'chazi l'mizgalei. Because, after all, it is something which is roy, it is something fit for a person to sit on. And so, therefore, when a person goes ahead and takes the hide and he places it on the ground, so people are going to assume that he's doing so in order so we could have a mat to sit on. But hacha, however, in here, when it comes to spreading the chalev in a place where it will be exposed to the air, asi lemeimar, it's going to lead to people saying, my time asher li rabbanon. Why did the rabbanon allow a person to go ahead and to spread the chalev out? Ki heichdi lo lisrach, because they do not want the chalev to spoil. So mali lemishtachinu, mali lemimlachinu. So what is the difference whether or not I spread it out or I salt it? And therefore, we're concerned that this will lead inadvertently to actual chil yom tif. So says the Gemara, the reason for the distinction is because the cases are different. In one case, allowing a person to go ahead and place the or is not going to lead to this sort of misconception. However, when it comes to the spreading out of the chalev, we're concerned that it is going to lead ultimately to an act of chil yom tif. Says Rashi on the top of the page, Hasam lo mucha chamilsa. Over there it is not obvious, Shetehesh chichaso letzorach ibud. Over there it's not obvious that when he places, that when he spreads the or, that it is being done l'shem ibud for the purpose of tanning. The Meimam Ramar, I guess one who sees this, will say, Hay de shoyle rabbanon, L'sito l'fnei adrisa, the reason why the Chachamim permitted to go ahead and place it in a place where people are going to trample on it, b'pnei tzorach yamtiv hitiru. They only allowed it because of the tzorach for today, sha'af shtichasel tzorach yamtiv t'chazi l'mizgalei. Because even spreading it out is something which is necessary for today because it's right for people to sit on it. But over here, when we're dealing with the case of the fats, kisharis l'sholtchan, if we permit the person to go ahead and spread it out, so it's going to be very clear that the only reason why this is being permitted is in order to make sure that the chalev could be preserved. And this will lead to actually salting the chalev. And when it comes to melicha, so this is one of the avos melachos, when it comes to anything that requires tanning, tetnan, as it says in the Mishnah Shabbos, davayin gimel, v'hamocho v'ma'abdo. This is one of the 39 avos melachos. The Gemara concludes this discussion with one more case regarding melicha, salting on yomtiv. Amar of Yehuda Meshmuel, moleach adam kamachatichos basa bevasachas. That a person go ahead and salt several pieces of meat together, afapisha inutzorach ala lechaticha achas, even though he only needs one piece of meat for yomtiv. Over here, we're not talking about salting the hide, we're not talking about salting the chalif, we're talking about salting meat, which of course is necessary for part of the process of preparing it for eating. So, obviously, salting meat in this particular situation is permissible. The Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel is that a person can go ahead and to salt additional pieces even though he only needs one. And says Rashi, even though perhaps you would have thought that this would be prohibited because he's going through additional effort, additional tircha that's not necessary. So Shmuel's Chiddush is that this is permitted. Ravada Barava, Mari Mamolach Garma Garma. That means that according to what Ravada Barava used to do, is he would go ahead and he would be marim, which means he would come up with a way to essentially create a situation which gave the impression that he was doing something, really he was doing something else. He would do it piece by piece. Rashi explains, if you marim la'acha shemolach zu la'achla yom, after he would salt one piece of meat that he wanted for today, Omer, he would say, chaver ta'arev elai, you know, I like this other piece better. And then he would go ahead and he would do piece by piece that way. So he wasn't comfortable going ahead and salting them, all of them, the vasachas, together, but he would do one piece at a time. He would do one and say, you know what, I'd rather this piece. And then finish that and say, you know what, I want this piece. In the end, both Shmuel and Ravada Barava would come to the same conclusion, namely that you can go ahead and salt many pieces of meat, even though you only need one for that day. However, whereas Rav Yehuda or Shmuel says that you can go ahead l'chachila, and go ahead and salt all them together, Ravada Barava employed this harama of sorts, where he would go ahead and he would do piece by piece.